Mark chapter number 1. Start reading in verse number 40. And one verse is all we're going to be able to read. And I believe it'll be very sufficient. The Lord has just been in prayer. And Peter finds him and said, Lord, these people's following you. There's people seeking you. Oh, that men would seek the Lord. He told him, he said, let's go to the next town. And there he preached. He didn't just preach, Brother Larry. The Bible said that he preached in their synagogue. So that tells me that a people that he came for was looking for him. A synagogue is a Jewish temple. And he goes to their, we'll call it a church, their church. And he goes there and he preaches to them. And they just something about the Lord preaching that you, we can't imagine. All right. I just talked about distractions while ago. I can see you daydreaming on me. Come on back to Camden Davis. Get with us, Alan. Stay with me now. Don't go nowhere. Y'all don't make fun of Alan now. He wasn't daydreaming. I just used him for an example. You didn't want me to call out the ones that was doing it, did you? Oh, you did? Y'all were a pretty rough group right there. Amen. You see how easy? He can come by. I ain't even read the text yet. And already he said to your mind, come here. And you said, okay. What you want? Nothing. I just don't want you to be over there. Verse 40, the Bible says, and there came, this is after Christ preaches. This is after the preaching. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What a word of faith. What an act of faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, you ain't going to please Him. You say, but I'll do good works. I ain't going to please Him. I'll give a lot of money. That ain't going to please Him. It'll make me happy. Won't make Him happy. All right? I see the bank statements every month. All right? I know what when it's down in the valley where the green grass grows, there ain't no money to show. All right? That makes me nervous right there. But that don't impress the Lord because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the hills. And the taters growing in the hills. So that's not... He knows how to take a little and make a lot. That's what I pray for, Brother Alex. I'm so thankful for this good crowd this morning. There's a good crowd over there, and there's a good crowd in here. The best supported revival meeting that I've ever seen in this church was this past week. The best supported revival meeting that we've ever seen in this church was this past week. I was astonished. I'm thankful. So we look at this text, and the Lord's preached, and words got around. Ain't that good? There's a meeting going on down there. Who's preaching? The preacher. I don't know who he is, but he's got the power of God on him. I don't know who he is, but I'm telling you, he's a fireball. He's an old man. He's an old man. But I'm going to tell you this, he's got something to say. I'm not trying to elaborate or lift up a man. I'm not trying to exalt Brother Leroy. The Bible says, I believe Psalms 118, verse number 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Middle verse in the Bible. The two middle words, because there's an even amount of words in the Bible. In a King James Bible only in a King James Bible, the two middle words is the Lord. What about that? You think that was an accident? Come on now. Help me a little bit. Amen. Father, I pray that you'd take what's said and use it for your glory. Thank you for God just meeting with us, the good songs we've already heard. Thank you for Brother Alex singing for us, and God, I pray you bless him. And God, Brother John working next door with the youth, I ask you, God, to help him be with Brother June over in Callahan and meet with us tonight, I pray, as we come back together. Bless this time and all these good folk that showed up. In Christ's name I ask, amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. Brother Donnie, you might have your hands full now. Go ahead. And the Bible says this, and there came a leper. We all know that leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. A leprous person has a disease on them that they didn't ask for, but they got it. I didn't ask for sin to be on me, but where by one man sin hath entered into all men. And so I got me some sin when I got born. And you got some sin when you was born. You got that Adamic nature. You're the sin of Adam, our forefather. You was born with it. You might not have robbed a bank by the time you was 10. You might not even stole a car when you was 5. Larry Seale said he stole his preacher friend. I ought not to tell this about my friends. What kind of friends you got, Brother Edward? But Larry Seals, y'all have to understand that. But Larry said he was 12 years old when he stole his first car. I said, my daddy could have broke you, boy. Amen. I couldn't imagine the law calling my daddy down to the police station saying, your boy stole the car. But Jeff, I'd have been just like George Washington. Just another part of history. Amen. Amen. He'd have took my life into his own hands. And back then, the law let you. Amen. And I believe I could have heard the words above Daniel. He'd have said, probably right there, he'd probably said something like this. He'd probably said, if y'all don't mind, I'm just going to go ahead and kill him and take care of this problem. Won't ever happen again. They probably said, okay, go ahead. Bible said there came a leper to him. Now, there's some things that we have to understand when we're reading this text about leprosy and about a leprous person. Number one, somebody that was leprous was not welcome around folk that were not. If somebody had leprosy, I believe most of you already know, someone that had leprosy had to forewarn people about the wicked, the vile, the deadly disease that they had. When somebody got to coming around to where they were, First off, they were not to go into a group of folk that because they had leprosy. But if somebody was coming up on them, they had to cover their mouth and cry aloud, leprosy, leprosy, leprous, leprous. They had to forewarn people about this vile disease that they have, and in the Bible is a type of sin. Now, wouldn't it be something in the hour that we live in if folk, whether it be lost people or whether it be saved people, if they were to cry aloud when they got around Christians that was sold out for God, somebody that they knew was a prayer warrior, Somebody that they knew loved God and wanted to serve the Lord and done everything in their life that God wanted. Wouldn't it be something if people that was even saved, let's use saved people, was to cry aloud and holler, "Sinner! Sinner! Stay back! I'm a sinner! My vocabulary is not what it should be. I'm a sinner! I've been hanging around with people that I shouldn't hang around with. I'm a sinner! I've been looking at stuff that I shouldn't be looking at. I'm a sinner! I've been listening to things that I shouldn't be listening to. I'm a sinner! I've been going to places that I shouldn't be going to. I'm a sinner! 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 Stay back! I'm a sinner." Well, that's what that man was having to do. But he stepped way out on faith. And what he did shows that the desire of his heart was so powerful, he was willing to go against what everybody else thought. He was willing to go against the law of the Old Testament. He was willing to step out, Brother Mike, into a place that he knew in all reality he could have been stoned over this. You understand that? This was a sentence that was brought forth by death. Carried out by death. And still, because of what he'd heard, because of probably the testimony that preceded the Lord, that, listen, I'm telling you, this man says, "I have got to get to Christ. I have tried to find people that can help me. I have tried to get this stuff off my body. I have tried to get away from those others that might have it. And it seems like the only people that will talk to me is people that's got what I've got." Have you ever noticed when you get backslidden as 40 devils, the only people you want to talk to is backslidden people? Amen. The only thing, hey, if you got a vile vocabulary this morning and all you like to talk about is vile and wicked things, the only thing that you, only people you fellowship with them. Right. Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Allen? I mean, listen, you take one of these young men that's on these boats out there, and you put them out there, and they don't want to hear that kind of cussing. They don't want to hear that kind of vile wickedness. They don't want to be around that kind of fellowship. And you put them under, they ain't got nobody to talk to. Unless God lets them cross paths with each other. Might be on your job. I talked about this in Sunday school. It might be in a place where you live. You might have four neighbors, and only one. You got something in your heart and they got something in their heart. Young fellowship. That don't mean y'all got to cook out every night. Matter of fact, I love eating out with friends, but I can't do it with the same friends all the time because that brings on too much trouble. Brother Darrell, that lets us start letting our guard down. Come on now, help me a little bit. You get too comfortable talking about things you shouldn't be talking about. Huh? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You get around folk, you young couples, you get around folk too much. You know, y'all think you get married probably for the first 3 or 4 years. Where'd she go? No, I thought, dear God, son, I thought she done left you. And he got married yet. Well, I mean, y'all get married for the first couple, 2 or 3 years, y'all don't even need no company. Amen. You need to get to know each other. I told them here at church, me and Faith got married. I told them, "Brother, you're at church." I said, "Listen, I said y'all can come and visit my wife all day long." I said, "But 4:30, I start rolling in the driveway." Come on. I said, "Be gone." The psalmist said in 32:11, "Be glad." In the book of Edward, it says, "Be gone."
Amen.
Amen. I knew. Hey, we just got married. I knew that we had stuff we're going to talk about. Leave it alone. All right. And so let's look right here. Here's what this leper did. There came a leper to him. You know what I bet that old boy's glad of? I'm glad he didn't waste one more trip on somebody else that could not help him. Have you ever got discouraged, friend? Have you ever got kind of down and out and said, well, I need to call old brother so-and-so. I know he can help me. I know he can encourage me. And then he always does. And one more time, you got let down again. But the Bible said that he came to Jesus. I bet he's glad for the trip that he made this time. How many of y'all remember the first time that you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he could give that nobody else could? Wow. I mean, you was like, you was in awe. You was like, wow, this ain't possible. The Lord can't give you that kind of peace. Well, the world can't neither. You tried that. You tried rationalizing your mind. You tried buying things. You tried going places. You tried talking to people. You tried everything in the world to try to find some peace. But none of it ever worked. You just kept having to do it over and over and over. Over and over and over. But when you came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, cast thy burden upon me, for I careth for you. You said, wow, he cares for me? He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you so much that he died for you. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that he came to him. And then the Bible says that he was beseeching him. That word beseech means to ask urgently. Urgently. You know, a lot of folk, they don't ask urgently. They just, maybe just so, do you mind? I'm a good night. That's about as wimpy as I listen, all y'all know I've went into the scrap business. And it's doing very well, thank you. Amen. And I think it is. I ain't sold none yet. I got a yard full. But I know this. I know this. One day I just rise it and somebody out there needs something. I said, hey, y'all throwing that away? I said, yeah, take it off, please, take it off. I said, good. You got anything in the house? No, I'll do it that far. But I'm telling you, you gotta ask. And if this man would have asked, here's the way that a lot of people does it. This is the way that religion works. You listen to me? Watch this. Come back with me. Some distraction they got a hold of you. Some religion does like this, Brother Sean. Religion will say, you ask him and let him ask the Lord for you. Do you have any idea? Listen, friend, I'm telling you time after time after time, somebody says, can I talk to you about something I want to go? No! Talk to the Lord. Tell him. I mean, you're going to tell me something and you think you're going to feel better after it's done with, and it ain't, because I'm going to try to make you feel bad. Amen. I'm just going to pour it out there. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? That's a sorry cotton-picking stinging you did. You a sorry rascal. And that might stop. I don't know. I ain't done it quite like that before, Sister Debbie, but it might stop it. Tell the Lord. The Bible said that he was beseeching him. He was asking them. He was begging him with urgency. He's saying, Lord. I mean, just to go to Jesus and say, Lord, you have got a big milestone behind you. Just to acknowledge his position. Just to say, I know you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, yeah, you know, listen. This is what will make the Lord to hear. You make him turn his head in your direction. I was listening to a preacher this morning praying. Most of us, if we're not careful, we'll pray like this. I'm going to ask you. Some of y'all, have y'all ever done this? I have. So it's okay to say you have if you have. Have you ever suddenly caught yourself praying and you was thought you was praying to the Lord, but you was really just praying at the Lord? Just words. And when you got done praying, what, no change? No wonder sometimes we get up with our burdens and go back to our seat and carry them with us. We never turn them loose. We didn't no more mean nothing than that. This man cries out. He came to him. He went against the law. He goes in public. around people straight to Christ and beseeched Him. He begged Him. So I ain't going to beg nobody for nothing. You're going to have some rough roads to hoe in life. When you finally get down to the end of life and you will admit what we are and who we are, you're going to tell people that we're just a bunch of old sinners, beggars, if you will, saved by grace. Just old beggars. You know how I got saved? I begged Him. You know how I've seen groceries put on my table? I begged Him. You know how I've seen gas put in my car? I'm talking about time after time after time. I begged Him. I begged him over and over and over. God, we got a need, Lord. If you don't take care of it, it ain't going to get done. Nobody else knows about it. You're the only one that knows, and you're the only one that can take care of it. Just a beggar. That's old leprous man. This old sinner man. Just a beggar. I'm afraid we've listened to so much, what do you call that kind of preaching where they just, you know, you leave there and you feel like you've been to Disney World. Feel good. Motivational is what I'm trying to say. Motivational. We've listened to so much of that that we forget that we're just old beggars. Listen, you ain't got to tell me how sorry, low life I am. You ain't got to point out every one of my sins to make me realize I'm just an old beggar. I know it, man. I know it. Listen, I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again where some old bum might walk into a church, some old hobo, some old drunkard, some old harlot, somebody just caught in the grasp of sin and can't get out of it, and all they had the strength and the power to do was to show up at the house of God, the last resort, hoping that God would do something and God's people would help them somehow, and all they got was kicked one more time. I say, my word, I'd hate to be a preacher like that and have to stand for God. When somebody comes in, Brother Mike, as a last resort, their last hope, hoping that God could fix the marriage or hoping that God could fix some finances, hoping that God could restore some joy. And all they got was one more kicking. I don't want to be that kind of preacher. So what kind you want to be? I want to be the kind, Brother Neil, that when they do come in, I want to say, I got some good news for you. I want you to know the Lord's on your side. I want you to know that He's able to do so much more than you ever dreamed of. I told him last night, I'm working on a message. I'm working on a message. I got a title for that one. I got a message yet. I'm working on it. Ain't that the way it goes? That's about the way it goes sometimes. Bible said, and there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him. He was begging Him. He said, please, you don't understand. I've done everything I know to do, and I can't get this leprosy off of me. I can't get this sin out of my life. It used to be the only time, listen to me, good friend, the only time that we would ever hear about somebody being a habitual sinner, about somebody being a notorious a robber or a thief or drunk or dope addict. It used to be that they was older people in life and they didn't come down to the end of the road. But now it's our young people, it's our children, it's our young boys, it's our young girls, and all's on their mind is the love and the care for this world. And the bad part about all that is, most parents don't know how to deal with it. Now, if you're a parent like that, and you don't know how to deal with it, well then, I'm not kicking you. God forbid, I hope you never leave here and feel like, boy, that preacher just kicked me up one side down the other this morning. Because you know I love you. I love your children. I love your family. I want to say God bless you and use you for His glory. That's what He created us for. Yes, for His glory. And there is times that you have to mention some sin. There is times that the Holy Ghost says, why don't you throw that out there? I couldn't tell you how many times I preached for the mic and called out specific sins, and people say, you was preaching to me this morning. What? You knew I was doing that. Well, if they didn't go to me, they come to somebody else.
Amen.
You don't go to nobody else, so they're going to come to me too.
Amen, Jesus.
Amen, Brother Chris. Yes. God knows how to get the word to us, don't He?
Amen. Yeah.
I'm just saying, we're living in an era when there's a lot of parents that just don't know how to deal, and school's fixing to start back, and they've been on vacation, or they've had a lot of liberty, or whatever they've been doing during summer months, where you're supposed to be resting, I guess. But whenever school starts back here next week, it's going to be wide open time of sin. Because you ain't going to be around just them sinners in your household. You're going to be around all them sinners at school. And they're going to tell you how vile and wicked they've been all summer. And they're going to brag. Am I telling it right? They're going to tell you how vile and wicked and what all bad stuff they've done. I can see it on faces right now. They do not like what I'm saying. And the only reason that you would not like what I'm saying is because you're involved in what I'm saying. I promise you, if you think this old boy just got off the pumpkin wagon, you are long wrong. Say amen right there. Ain't we right? We right about this. We right. I mean, we can build a fence 12 foot tall and put our kids in it, and sin will still get to them. He said that he came to Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. What you think I got to do, Brother Edward? Why don't you admit it? Why don't you admit what you got? I was listening to a preacher preach this morning. I told my wife that this preacher was preaching on the Holy Ghost. I told my wife, I said, I'm just about tired of people telling me that the Holy Ghost told them that they should or shouldn't do something when what they're talking about is contrary to the Word of God. People telling me that they're led by the Holy Ghost when He ain't led me that way. Brother Gary, you tell me that the Holy Ghost has led you to do something in this church, before you ever come close to saying it, you better be sure that He should have spoken to me too. See how quiet y'all got right there? Y'all been using Him for a crutch. You've lied on Him, and that'll grieve Him. I couldn't tell you how many folks said, I just feel like God wants us to move along. Where are you going to go? I had a man tell me, honest before God now, this ain't just preacher talk, this is the truth what I'm saying, okay? I had a man tell me that God told them to go to church somewhere else, and they left the church where they went, this one, and went to a church that don't even use a King James Bible. And I seen them later, I said, you going to tell me that God told you to go there? Yeah. I said, you have lied on the Holy Ghost. Has anybody, you better be careful. You better be careful. You better be careful about lying on the Holy Ghost, Brother Gary. Have you ever read the story about Ananias and Sapphira? And Peter said, why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost? You know what happened to him? You know the story. Peter told her, he said, he died. And they come to get you. And she died. You know why? You know why she died? Because she lied about the Holy Ghost. Am I telling it right? If I had two Bible readers in here, say amen, well, why? Just two. Just two. That's all I need, two. That encouraged me a little bit more than none, all right? The Bible said this man, he came to Christ. He asked Him, He beseeched Him, please, 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 please. Hey, there may be times in your prayer life when all you can say is, please, Lord, I cannot get victory over this. Please, Lord, help me out of this trouble. Help me out of this trial. Help me out of this storm. Please, 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 please. I'm telling you, the devil's got a hold of me. Please help me. Just please. I told them Sunday school, I said, there might be a time when you just don't have to tell some of your old friends, listen, I can work with you because we're on the job together.
but I just can't fellowship with you. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, brother? When I got married, me and Faith got married, all the fellowship that I had on the job, out the window. They said, where you at all the time? I said, I got a wife. I would have showed them a picture of her, but that caused a fight. They said something ugly and you're going to kill somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You work with a bunch of men. Amen. Please, Lord, for me and you. Here's what he's done, Brother Gary. He's went against the law. He has come to Christ. He has beseeched the Lord. I'm telling you, look that word up. He has begged him. That's what beseeching. Begging. Asking with urgency. And then he knelt down. And he showed that he was willing to submit to whatever the Lord said. The Lord ain't cured him yet. But already, for this purpose, he's knelt down. Here's what he's done. Stand up. Stand up. For this purpose, here's what he's done. He has come to him. He's begged him, whether it be to listen, whether it be to do the work, but he beseeched him, and the Bible said that he knelt down. Kneeling, it said. You know what that showed? Whatever you think's best. Whatever you want to do. I know that you can. That's what he said. I know that you can. I know you're able. But in that kneeling, he has let everything about him take second place. In standing, he still feels an equal. But in kneeling, he humbled himself. Well, if you'd read your Bible a little bit about that, every time you were here, can you not hear the word humble without thinking about how Jesus humbled himself to death? And then the death, even what? The death of the cross. He went kneeling humbly to the cross. Thank you. But now for us, we got leprosy. What do you do about something like that? How do you deal with it? Well, you go to Christ, obviously. You tell him, please don't leave. I see people. See, you done got me ruined here. You done got me ruined. So you're not going to get married. You've already moved down here. Now, you decide you're going to leave here, and I'm going to go off in the corner and squall. Okay. Alan's here. He ain't got no choice for another couple of years. Four more years. Let's extend it, Brother Neil. Take care of that for us, okay? Make it eight. Double. Should have submitted. But when the day comes that he said, Brother Edward, I'm going back to Alabama. It's going to break my heart. Tomorrow, tonight, after church, y'all going to eat. Brother Chris, I remember his first day here.
Yep.
And tomorrow, I'm going to have lunch with him or wherever he wants to buy. I don't care. I learned a long time ago to quit being picky about stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You need to smile. Quit sitting there looking like an old sourpuss. What's wrong with you? Makes me wonder what's down on the inside. Folk don't never smile. Huh? Be like, Brother Leroy, you might need one of them wine coolers or something. I don't know. I'm kidding about that, okay? Wow, boy, you see when conviction comes in the house, you mention certain words, they're like, how'd you know? And tomorrow we'll eat lunch. And that very possibly will be the last time I ever see him. He'll do his time in California. He'll come out of there crazy as a football bat. Somebody said all the gold was down in California. I think there's a lot more stuff down there. Well, back to preaching. And Brother Leroy told me this yesterday, or the other day, Thursday, Brother Kyle. I called him. He was on, Brother John took him to the airport for me. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "if I don't never see you again, I'll see you up there." He preached different this time, didn't he? Did y'all notice that? I've seen him, Brother Neil, I've seen him sign off more than once. And I hope it ain't the last time I see him, but if it is, guess what? I'll see him up there. It might be the last service I ever see y'all. You don't never know. I could go home and be the Lord today. But if I do, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I know. As Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Me and my wife talk about stuff like this. You talk about God. You know what I ask my wife? I ask her Bible questions that she can't answer. And that's a rarity, I promise you. But I asked her, I said, "Why is it that there's things the Holy Ghost convicts me about that He don't convict others?" And I'll just leave it there, because when she got finished talking, I felt like I need to get saved again. And I felt like I'd been in mass or something. I don't know where I was at. She's a pretty rough preacher. That man just humbled. He told the Lord when he humbled himself, he said, "Lord, I know if you will, you can." I got good news for you this morning. He will. You may have something tucked way, listen to me. You might have something tucked way back that's holding on to you. You might have something tucked deep inside. Don't nobody know about it. You know what's in his pocket right here? You don't know, do you? But there is something in there. You just don't know about it. And every one of us have things in our life that we really wish wasn't there. And we really wish we could get rid of it. But God knows about it. And God will help you. He said, "I know you can. If you will." Good news for today. If you'll tell Him what it really is. You can't confess somebody else's sin and say, "I know this will help me." I can't tell you. You know, in my prayer life, I don't pray and say, "God, help me. I know I'd be a better Christian if Ethan wasn't such a stumbling block." That's how most folk want to pray. I know, God, I would be the best soul winner, but Sister Libby, wow, she torments me. And God, forgive her. That's not the way it is. We refuse to say, "Lord, it's me. It's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. It's me, oh Lord." Come to the piano if you would, please. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever just went to Him directly, specifically, because of that main problem? The main problem. We don't know what else was wrong with this man. Now, let me say this about leprosy. One of our greatest missionaries, long-time missionary from this church, Brother Tommy Tillman. If you know anything about him, you'll say, "Wow, what a missionary." I mean, John Dale said this, "He's probably the closest to the Apostle Paul that I've ever met." He's been on the mission field. When we first started this church, he came here. This is the first church he came to on deputation, and it's the first church that took him on, he said, y'all are my longest supporting, most faithful church. That's a compliment. Would you say? Would you say? I'm thankful for that, Brother Mike. But Tommy Tillman went to the mission field, and for Tommy Tillman to prove to them people that he was real, he was faced with a test. He was sitting, they had invited him in, and he said, "What? A lot of people don't know this about leprosy, but leprosy will literally eat your flesh away. There's people that are lepers. I got pictures that he sent of people with no hands. You've seen them, I know. There's people with no feet. They've lost legs. Leprosy, sin will eat away parts of your body, like your heart, your ears. You won't be able to hear. You won't be able to see. You won't even want to look at your Bible no more. That's what sin does, ain't it? And Tommy Tillman went, and they had, a family invited him to church. And this disease was, as far as I know, and still is, extremely contagious. And they invited him to church, and sitting in their house, the gentleman of the home or who it was there reached into the pot of food with a leprous hand, reached in and dipped out a portion and put it on his plate for him to eat. Now, that'll change your way of thinking when you pray about food. You won't be going down there and saying, God is great, God is good, let's thank for food by his head, mother's head, give the Lord another bread. Amen. Won't be none of that. You'll be praying, God, you call me here. You told me, listen, if you're here in this church, I want you here. You know that. I told you, I want you here. Brother Allen, I want you here. But I don't want you being here being a spectator. I want you involved here. There's work to be done. Amen. Brother Mike, there's a job. We got ministry to carry out. We got to take the word to St. Mary's in Kingsland and all of Camden County. We got 60 something missionaries that we're trying to put the gospel out through them every month. Tommy Tillman prayed and asked God to help him. And whatever that food needed, do for it. Would not you pray like that? God, whatever that food needs to be purified, to be the food cleansed. You see, we're so rich, we don't even have to worry about stuff like that. I told Tim, in Africa, was it last year or the first year, we was over in Africa. I seen a man pick up a watermelon that was laying face down. The part we eat was in the dirt. And he picked it up and he brushed it off the best way he could, sis, and he ate it. Where's the rich? We wouldn't have even kicked that watermelon. But no doubt he might have been praying for some food. And God will give you something to sustain you. No doubt it wouldn't be what you asked for, but it'll work. Amen. So tell him this morning the truth. How is it? Mother Mark, you say it like this here. He'll be in People's Baptist this week. Mother Mark Gay. Let's go. He said, how goes it? How's it going with you? How you doing with the Lord? Is he joyful? Did you really tell him everything? That means I ain't seen a whole lot of change. I mean, you still don't look like you're happy about being saved. You ain't never want to brag on him. You don't never want to talk about him. You know everything else. You know how many horsepower 347 stroke motor puts out. You know how big a motor you can put on a 16-foot boat. You know what kind of golf clubs Jordan Spieth's using. You see what I'm saying? We know everything about everything, but hardly nothing about him. So when I come to him and I pray, Brother Rick, I want to pray like this. Lord, sir, Psalm 139. Search me, O God. Search me. I dare you. I dare you to pray it. I dare you to pray it. I dare you to pray it. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know what He'll do? Oh, He already knows it's there. He'll reveal it to you. Let's all stand together. This morning, let me ask you, please. This morning, well, I know you're playing it alone. How about that? This morning, what you've got on the inside, this man said, my problem is leprosy. My problem is I'm rotting and I'm dying from the inside out. I wonder, Joseph, before this man realized he's got this leprosy, I wonder, did he have family? Chances were great. I mean, he could have had a wife back somewhere. He could have had a husband. I mean, no. Well, in today's regime we're in now, he could have. But back then, I promise you, he wouldn't have. He could have had children for me. He could have sons. He could have daughters. You know what he did, Sister Christian? He said, Lord, I'm not here about my wife. I'm not here about my sons. And I'm not here about my daughters. I'm here about my problem. Because till you get your problem fixed, till you get your problem fixed, don't even be concerned with nobody else. You'll never be a effectual soul winner. You'll never be a sold out, dedicated servant until you get you fixed first. Now, what about you, Brother Edward? Don't you need fixing every day? Every day. I'm just being honest with you. Every day. Everything. That's just what I'm made out of. Every day, Buddy, if I need something. God bless. So I'm asking you this morning, search yourself. You need something? Come tell Him. And tell Him everything. This is hard. This is hard, but I'm just giving you an example. If you're bad to steal, tell Him you're a thief. If you're bad to lie, tell Him you're a liar. If you're a vain person, just tell them you got a problem with vanity. If you're a proud person, tell them you got a problem with pride. Tell Him what it is. And then you've got His attention. And then fall before Him. And then He'll take care of your problem. Father, I pray this morning, God, if there's any, Lord, somebody's come already, I pray that somebody here this morning, God, needs some help. You'd help them. Lord, you know what the need is, and I just pray, God, that you do it for them. In Christ's name I pray. We'll glorify you and bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.